The NBA is back. First daily recap show of the season, and I think I've done a couple of these in the past, but really my first foray into a daily show, so we will see how we go. Two games to wrap up for a Tuesday night. Let's go balls deep. I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me and my mama's healthy. Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King, your host. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91. Find us on Twitter at FBI Basketball, or head to the website FBIBasketball.com. We are on YouTube. We're on Twitter, obviously. We're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you consume us, wherever you get us. Rate, like, subscribe, please, as we try to build out the channel and build out the product. We are also part of the Old Man Squad Network. Follow them on Twitter at Old Man Squad. Run by Dan Bespris. A ton of shows over there for you to check out. So daily recaps, as I put this out on Twitter yesterday, I'm going to be doing this Tuesday to Saturday, I think. So Wednesday to Sunday, my time. We're obviously doing this at, it's 5 p.m. here in Australia. So what, an hour, 2 hours after games finished, which will shift a little bit closer once the states, once the clocks go back, I think, in the states. I always get it confused. But yes, so it will be around this time. Fingers crossed, there might be some times when I can't do it because of work and because of family and things like that, but endeavouring to try and do five shows at about this time. I'm going to try and bang it out in about 30 to 40 minutes. Today, maybe a little bit quicker because there are only two games. I only want to spend maximum of 5 minutes on a game. I will be doing my usual Twitter read and react game thread kind of thing as well. And then you would have seen I did a watch and learn this morning or before the games, just talking about players I was watching. So I'm going to use, let's just bring it up, shall we? I'm going to use the box scores from Yahoo Sports. They seem to be fairly easy to clean up. There might be a point where we actually come up with our own templates and things like that, but this will do for a starting point, I think. And let's start. First game, Knicks at Boston. It was the ring ceremony, the banner-raising ceremony. It was interesting watching it. Some of the players were a bit emotional, and then you always wonder how are they going to switch from sort of that celebratory mode into playing. But obviously no issues for the Celtics. They won this one comfortably. Knicks didn't necessarily play bad they didn't shoot the ball terribly. Boston were just ridiculous, except for that last 7 or 8 minutes. We will start with the Knicks. And I'm really just going to cover fantasy shifts, fantasy value changes, things like that. So I'm not going to sort of go on and on about Jalen Brunson and what he did necessarily, because he was fine. let's talk about Towns. He wasn't great. I'm not surprised. First game. Only played probably one of the more surprising aspects, actually, if we look at this box score and if you were watching the game, is the fact that Tibbs actually rested some of his guys down the stretch, something we don't normally see. Even in games that are blowouts, he tends to play his guys 30-plus minutes. We had Brunson, Towns and Hart all playing around 25 minutes, 24 minutes. So that's a good thing in terms of their health, but obviously, from a fantasy perspective, not great. I thought Towns looked a little bit rusty. I would say if he has another bad game, maybe one or two, throw out an offer. Try and get him off whoever, because he may have been drafted in the second round. And it doesn't, as we know in fantasy, it doesn't take much for managers to get frustrated. So, yeah, just keep an eye on him. If he's underperforming, I would just try and throw out a sneaky trade to try and get him back. Throw out a third rounder, like a top 30 player, top 40 player, and just see what happens. Bridges, a lot of talk about his his shot. I thought he got better as the game sort of worked in, but yeah, look, I mean, it doesn't look great. I guess there's a reason. There's got to be a reason for it. And who am I to criticize the professionals? And these are the guys that get paid to do it. So the lack of peripheral stats is a little bit concerning, but again, we're not taking a ton out of this game because of the scoreline. Anunoby, a guy that I drafted in a few spots, he didn't look good either. Missed some wide open shots, so I certainly hope that he gets better. But we're not overreacting here. Probably the biggest takeaway was Miles McBride, who basically came on and couldn't miss. I managed to stream him in two leagues, and I'm going to try and hold at least for another game or two, because really off the bench, there's McBride, Sims and Payne. That's sort of it at the moment. And of the three, McBride is obviously the one who has the most scoring upside. So if McBride's available and you can move someone to an IR spot, or you've got someone that you're not really sold on, I'd consider him in a standard league. Shifting over to Boston, they were as advertised. Tatum looked really good. Don't expect him to shoot 14 of 18 from the field all too often, but the 10 assists, really encouraging, but really that's just because everyone was hitting their shots. So he looked great. Jaylen Brown looked really good. Jrue Holiday, 18 points. I think you have to be thrilled with 18 points from Jrue Holiday. And Derek White, 24 points. Again, the supporting stats, not a ton of stuff here because they didn't need to do much. Horford, I guess, is probably the one that there might be some questions about, like in terms of, was he a draftable guy? Where does he sit in terms of standard league value? I think he showed here that when he plays, he needs to be rostered. Only 11 points, but 3 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, a block, 4 from 7, 3 from 5 from the three-point line. So he's just doing what he does. He does a little bit across the board. If you don't need him to score double-digit points every night, he's certainly worth getting there. And Luke Kornet, who came off the bench and will play bigger minutes when Horford rests. So Horford isn't going to play back-to-back. So Kornet is going to be a good streamer. Didn't do a lot tonight. And then Hauser, Pritchard, they're just your three-point streamer kind of guys. But yeah, look, I think if they'd made some shots down the stretch, they would have got to that 33-point three-pointers made mark. So they tied the record. I believe it was the Bucks who set the record in 2020 with 29 threes. So the Celtics were sitting at that number with about 8 minutes to go, and then they got all their guys off, and then the bench just couldn't hit a shot. So you could feel the crowd riding it. It was a bit frustrating, I'm sure, as a Celtics fan. So on to the next game, the Timberwolves and the Lakers. Lakers got out pretty early in this one. Minnesota managed to sort of pull it back and at least make it competitive. And I guess from a fantasy perspective, that meant that the big names played big minutes, which is what we like to see from fantasy value, in terms of fantasy value. Julius Randle, probably the biggest question mark, given he's the new guy on the block. Look, I thought he was fine. 16 and 9 with 4 assists, no defensive stuff. You're not going to get defensive stuff from him. He only attempted 3 threes. So I think that's going to be interesting, and especially if we look at what Dante DiVincenzo did off the bench. He attempted 8 threes. He played 31 minutes or 32 minutes off the bench. So something to monitor. Mike Conley only played 20 minutes. Now, I do think this was partly just, I think DiVincenzo was doing a lot more on the floor. So I certainly wouldn't think that Conley is going to be limited to 20 minutes a night, but it is a bit of a position battle that we might want to keep an eye on, because DiVincenzo obviously has far more upside on the offensive end and arguably on the defensive end as well. So whether he ends up starting, I'm not sure, but it could be that he actually plays more minutes than Mike Conley. So if he was available, or if he's available, if he wasn't drafted for whatever reason, I would go and grab him. Chances are he probably was. But, I thought he fitted in really well. Gobert, double-double with a block, got a big payday, an hour before tip-off, or 2 hours or something. So 3 years, 100 and something million. So he's locked in there in Minnesota for the foreseeable future. Anthony Edwards, yeah, look, I mean, the numbers look pretty good. 27 and 6, no defensive stats, 10 of 25 from the field, 2 of 3 from the free throw line. So good on the surface. Probably if you dig a little bit deeper, he was firing away a bit. And I don't know. I mean, that sort of, to me, highlights the loss of Karl Anthony Towns a little bit and Randall just getting adjusted to a new offense. So I do think Randall will be the second option pretty clearly offensively and will shoot more than 10 shot attempts. But, yeah, again, just watch how that rotation plays out. And probably the last bit of nugget, I suppose, of information, Naz Reid played 26 minutes. And I think we can probably expect something like this moving forward. I think he was sort of a top 120, top 130 player last year. I guess if we increase his playing time by 2 or 3 minutes from what he did last year, we can increase his production by maybe 5 to 10%. So maybe he can push to be a top 100 guy. Again, if he wasn't drafted, go and check your waiver wires. I'm assuming he was. I thought he played pretty well and he's going to be crucial to what they're doing. So the Lakers, they looked really good. As I said, got out to an early lead. I think probably most importantly for the Lakers is that LeBron didn't have to do it all. This has sort of been the concern with the Lakers over the last couple of seasons is that LeBron really needs to good point. Let's just jump back to Minnesota here. So, yeah, no young guys. So Rob Dillingham didn't play. Whether this was just opening night, they're going to move him in there or something, I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's if you did draft him, it's not looking good. You probably shouldn't have drafted him in a standard league. In deeper leagues, I don't know, just hold him. Give it a couple of games. This is the time of season when people tend to panic. So, yeah, give him another game or two and we'll see what happens. Back to the Lakers. Yeah, I said LeBron, look, played reasonably well, played 35 minutes, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists and 2 blocks. But if the Lakers can win games with LeBron only needing to score 16 points, then they're going to be in a good position. Rui Hachimura, I streamed him in I think, one league just for points and pretty happy with what I got. The 2 steals and a block, certainly an unexpected bonus. But 35 minutes, they really lent into their starters here, as you can see. Basically all 5 of them played 35-plus minutes, Hachimura included. Is he worth rostering? Look, maybe. There's obviously they're a team where all 5 of their starters can get hot. So he got 18 points here. He could very well come out and get 8 in the next game. So he is going to be a little bit inconsistent and, as I said, won't typically give you those defensive stats. But I think he's worth considering just purely based on the minutes he's going to get. Austin Reeves, he was fine. I mean, if you drafted him, no real change here. Same goes for D'Angelo Russell, other than the three-point shot wasn't really falling, although it wasn't really falling when you look at the Lakers as a whole. But Anthony Davis, I preached all preseason that I thought he was probably in that tier with Luka and Shea behind Wemby and Jokic. So I was considering him at 3. I took him at 5 in a few drafts wherever I could get him. Injuries are going to be the question. They always are. But 36 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, 1 steal. Field goal percentage, 11 of 23. Hey, that's probably not ideal, but 13 of 15 from the line is really good, and he managed to sneak in a 3-pointer. So really good opening night for Anthony Davis. So I love what I saw from him. And if we look at the bench, yeah, look, a few of them played 15, 17 minutes, like you can see there. Dalton Connect, who has been a bit of a hype guy the last week after that. I think it was his last performance in the preseason. He ended up with 5 points and not much else. So really outside of those starting five, I don't see anyone worth rostering in standard leagues. Max Christie, who was someone I wanted to keep an eye on. He only played 11 minutes. Gabe Vincent, 17 minutes, did nothing. I still think Jackson Hayes has a small amount of upside. And Anthony Davis, as we alluded to only earlier, injuries are a concern. So if he does go down at any point, Jackson Hayes becomes an intriguing guy. And then Bronny James played 3 minutes, but whether he plays 3 minutes every game, I don't know. He may not even be in the rotation. I do think this was probably a little bit of just getting that LeBron and Bronny on the court together out of the way. It's done. They've played together. So we'll see how much he figures in the rotation, but I actually don't think it'll be a whole lot there. So, yeah, look, that was 20 minutes, pretty quick. I probably spend a little bit longer on each of those games than I will normally, as I said, but with only two, that was fine. A lot of games tomorrow. So for a lot of people, tomorrow is actually opening night. Given we have, what do we have, 10 games on the slate tomorrow. Some fun games too. Looking forward personally. I'm just looking forward to watching Indiana and Detroit to see how Detroit look with a healthy roster and with some changes and Tobias Harris. The other game are Charlotte and Houston, I think could be fun as well. Both two young teams with who like to score. Could be really high scoring. Brooklyn, Atlanta. So some of these games, these teams that aren't necessarily going to be contenders in terms of real life basketball, but I think from a fantasy perspective, they've got some intriguing pieces. So, so a few games tomorrow. So I will should be able to do a recap similar time tomorrow. Might be slightly later. I've got to take my daughter to her tennis lesson. But that will do for today's show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.